Please turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Well, here in Luke chapter 4, let's just pick this up. Man, we almost have to kind of pick it up in midstream. Jesus was ministering in Nazareth. You can see that at the beginning of the chapter. Well, he finishes ministering there, and we pick it up in verse 31. And he, Jesus, and those with him, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed with him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, what's interesting is that chapter 4, verse 31, through chapter 5, verse 11, is basically one event. It really shouldn't have been broken up with chapter 5. Now, you're going to see this here in just a few moments. So Jesus, he goes to Capernaum, which is a city of Galilee. And he's ministering on the Sabbath days, okay, plural. What that means is he's been spending some time there in that region. And then it tells the story of how that in the synagogue, this one particular synagogue, he cast this unclean spirit out of a man. Well, in verse 38, it says he arose out of the synagogue. In other words, verse 38 is, let me put it like this. Here, we have our Sunday morning service. And when the service is over, we all leave and we go somewhere to do what? To eat, right? You either go home or you go to a restaurant. Well, at this particular time, Jesus went to Simon's house. This is Simon Peter's house. That means Simon Peter was in the synagogue when Jesus was teaching. And he witnessed this devil being cast out of this guy. So Jesus goes into Simon's house. Now, why do you think Jesus went to Simon's house? We could speculate all night long, but here's the deal. Jesus wouldn't have done that if it weren't proper. Now, here's what I mean. Have you ever had somebody just show up at your house and say, hey, what's for dinner? And you didn't know they were coming? You never invited them? So what it seems like is that Simon may have gone up to Jesus and said, you know, I would like to invite you to come to my house for dinner. So Jesus arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. But when they got there, here's what they found out. Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Well, he stood over her. Apparently, she's there in the bed. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Okay, now a little lesson here on healing. Rebuke it. Whatever sickness, whatever affliction, whatever it is that's coming against your body, doesn't matter what it is, rebuke it. Treat it like it's a living entity. Rebuke it and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And it says that, you know, he did that immediately. It left her, she arose and ministered unto them. In other words, she commenced to help fixing dinner. She's fixing the food. Well, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed. Now you wonder, okay, well, what does the sun setting have to do with this? It's the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, there was a lot of tradition that had been added to the law. And it's crazy. One of those traditions involved you're not allowed to walk too far. And I didn't look this up again. You can only walk so far on the Sabbath. In other words, you can only walk 500 steps on the Sabbath. Now, that's not what it was. But I'm trying to help you understand there was a reason these people didn't go to Jesus on the Sabbath, because there were restrictions on traveling. Well, it says when the sun was setting. Okay, what is it? Sundown. So the Sabbath is now over. From, you know, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath day, seventh day. So now here it is. The Sabbath is over and these people are free to get out and move around. So they go to that house, and the sick, anybody that's dealing with divers diseases, it says he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Every single one of them. Well, it says in verse 41, not only that, but devils came out of people saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now, I find that very interesting. They knew, those demons knew he was the Christ. And you may think, well, why in the world would he rebuke them? Do you remember when the Apostle Paul encountered that girl that was possessed with a demon of divination? And wherever Paul was going, that girl was crying out, these men are telling us the way to the Most High God, so on and so forth. Finally, Paul had enough of that. He turns around and rebukes that thing and casts it out. Well, that landed him in jail. But now the reason for that was because it lended, as long as he put up with that, and he would have agreed, yes, we're teaching people the way to the Most High God. It actually lended credence to what that girl was doing by that spirit of divination. In other words, this thing was working through her to try to draw attention to itself that I'm in agreement. This guy, Paul, he's teaching the way to the Most High God. Isn't that true, Paul? Well, yeah, that's true. So see there, what I'm doing is also approved of the Most High God. You follow what I'm saying here? Okay, it's the same kind of a situation here. These demons operating through people, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, you are the Messiah. Well, If Jesus were to say, well, yeah, I am, then those demons through those people could have said, see there, what we're doing is approved of Almighty God because we acknowledge him as the Messiah. And so Jesus said, no, you hush up. I don't need your testimony. I'm going to drive you out. By driving them out, it proved that they were working deception in the lives of people. All right, now we continue on. And when it was day, okay, the next day, he departed and went into a desert place. In other words, he left the house and he goes out alone. And what do you think he was doing? He's praying. But the people sought him and came unto him and stayed with him that he should not depart from them. And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. All right, now verse 44, look back at verse 31. He came from Capernaum to the city of Galilee. So he hasn't left Galilee yet. He's still right there in that area. He's just going to different little communities, if you will, or different synagogues in that area. Well, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, the lake, Lake Gennesaret is also known as Lake Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. So what's happening is he's there ministering, and it's a seaside resort, if you will. He's ministering in that area right along the shores of the Lake of Galilee, or here the Lake of Gennesaret. And the people were crowding in. We want to hear you. We want more healings, or you know, whatever it was these folks were saying. Well, he saw two ships standing by the lake. Now remember, this is the next day. So it's not the Sabbath anymore. It's now a work day. Well, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was who? Simon's. And he says he prayed him. In other words, he asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Simon agreed to it. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, he didn't just walk up to Simon and say, he didn't just walk up to Simon, climb in the boat, and say, push out a little bit. And Simon, who are you? You know, no, remember? Simon has already heard him teaching in the synagogue. Simon has already seen him cast the devil out of that guy. Simon's already had him over to the house for dinner. He's already cast the sickness out of Simon's mother-in-law. So it's not like Jesus is a stranger to Simon. So now he gets in Simon's boat and asks him, you know, would you please, you know, just thrust out a little from the land? And Simon agreed, and Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Well, who was in the ship with Jesus? It was Simon. Well, verse 4, when he had left speaking, when the teaching was over, he looks over to Simon and says, launch out into the deep. Okay, he had only thrust out a little bit from shore. Now Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon says, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay, now, remember what happened the day before. Synagogue service is over. Simon invites Jesus to the house. Jesus comes to the house, and whoever else was traveling with Jesus at that time. So Jesus is there at the house. Simon's there at the house. There are other people at the house. He rebukes the fever out of Simon's mother-in-law. And then, as the sun is setting, people come from all over the place. And Jesus is ministering to them. So Simon, however long this took, Simon is awake. He's not getting any rest. And here it says, we've toiled all the night. So it's possible Simon didn't get his Sabbath afternoon nap and was awake far longer, and he spends all night fishing. In other words, what I'm trying to get at is he's tired. And he doesn't feel like launching out into the deep. However, he says, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he did that. Then all of a sudden, it says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Okay, now, that implies there were more than just Jesus and Simon in that ship. How many more? Don't know. Two or three people? Not sure. Well, they beckoned to their partners, which were in another ship. You know, you've got to come and help us. You know, look what's happening here. So they bring the other ship over, and they start filling the ships. Both ships were so full of fish, they started to sink. So they're hurrying to get back to shore because they don't want to sink. Well, when Simon Peter saw what had happened, he falls down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, he's heard Jesus teach in the synagogue. We don't know how many times Simon went to the synagogue to hear Jesus teach. But he's heard Jesus teach. He's seen him cast the devil out. He's seen him heal all kinds of people. Now he's experiencing this miracle, and it finally hits him, okay, I'm dealing with somebody here that is way beyond my comprehension. And it's very similar to what happened with the Apostle Paul. Remember that? You know, the blinding light, then he falls down, you know, Saul, Saul, you persecute. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Well, here, Simon Peter, he sees all this stuff happening, and he drops to his knees, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were partners with Simon. You know, they saw all this too. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They included James and John along with Simon. Now you can read the same story in Matthew 4 and Mark chapter 1. But here in Luke, so much more detail. Now let's think about this. Here's Simon and Jesus, the two main characters in this story. And Jesus has been teaching. Simon has witnessed all of this. You know, Simon, Peter, same person. And Jesus asks him, where it says here in verse 3, you know, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, or asked him, you know, let me put it in my words here, okay? Simon, may I use your ship? May I use your ship? And Simon, he obviously says, well, yes, you can use my ship. And Jesus says, well, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to thrust out a little from land, and, you know, I'm going to teach. So, he thrust out a little bit from land, and Jesus began to teach. And as Jesus is teaching all these people, Simon's got a front row seat. I mean, eyes to eyes with Jesus. I mean, literally sitting in his presence while Jesus is teaching. Now, folks, I can tell you this. Even people who were lost, when they were in the presence of Jesus and he was speaking, they could tell there was something different about him. Even the religious leaders could tell. That's one of the reasons it got him so fired up. You know, and the people, his words, you know, it's not just talking like everybody else we hear teach. It's like there's power behind what they could sense it. Same thing with Simon. Well, then Jesus, he finishes his teaching. And he says, okay, now, Simon, I want you to launch out into the deep. In other words, you got to go further than where you are right now. You thrust out a little bit, but now I want you to launch out into the deep. Cast your net for a draught of fish. And Simon, his lifestyle is fishing. That's all he knows, is fishing. And now here's a carpenter telling him how to fish. It's like, look, I don't tell you how to make rocking chairs, okay? You know, you're telling me how to fish. But he'd seen and heard everything up to this point. And he does protest. He says, you know, Master, we've worked all night. All night. And we haven't caught a thing. But fine. You know, I mean, I'm worn out. I want to go home. I want to go to bed. But if you say so, I'll do it. You know, so he obeyed. He could have said no. He said, this is stupid. I'm a professional fisherman. I know what to do. I know when it's the right time to fish. If fishing all night long wasn't the right time, wouldn't it be stupid for a professional fisherman to be fishing all night long? He knew that nighttime is the best time to fish, at least that time of year, whatever. And to fish at this particular time made no sense. How do you know that? They're washing their nets. They're getting ready to go home. If fishing right then was the time to catch fish, they would already have been out there fishing. But in their minds, this is what we've been doing. This is the way we've done it now for years. And you're telling me to do something that I know is not going to work. But I'll do it. At your word, I will do it. I'll do what you've said. So he does. Within minutes. They had caught more than they thought could be caught. You say, well, how do you figure that? If they thought it was possible to catch that many fish at one time, don't you think they already would have had a larger ship? Think about it. They would have, yeah. If they had known it was, let's just say he caught 500 fish, all right? I mean, I didn't do any further reading to figure out how many, but let's say they caught 500. Well, in their minds, you're never going to catch 500 fish. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. You're never going to catch 500 fish. We don't need a boat that can hold 500 fish. We've got a 200 fish boat, all right? We don't need a 500 fish ship. But all of a sudden, they're catching more than they thought was possible. And he says, help, you know, bring the other ship over here. And so they brought the other ship, and both of them were so full, they start to sink. We got to hurry and get to shore, or we're going to lose this. Now, in my imagination, here's Jesus. Now, I truly believe that Jesus would have been helping them pull that net in. At least I think he would have. But at the same time, I can just imagine him chuckling. You know, kind of laughing. You know, oh, you have little faith. I can just imagine, and at the same time, you know, the joy on his face to see them experiencing, literally, a miracle. Okay, now, they ended up following him. I mean, they left everything to follow him. And as I'm reading through this story, the Lord's teaching me and using this as an example. You know, Simon had already met Jesus. He had already heard him teach in the synagogue. Then he invited Jesus into his house. Okay, now, here's the parallel for us. Everyone up in here, some way, somehow, we've heard Jesus through teaching, preaching, whatever, we've heard him. And maybe we felt like we heard the still small voice inside calling us to salvation. And so what did we do? We invited Jesus into our house. And so now here he is on the inside. But there's more to this. Jesus asked Simon, can I use your ship? Jesus climbed into the ship and says, you know, can we do this here? And Simon says, yes. Well, the Holy Spirit, in sharing all this with me, he said, Jesus wants to use your ship. And he said, what that means is he wants to use you to reach the fish. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, Jesus wants to use our hands to lay on the sick for them to recover. Jesus wants to use our lips and our tongue to speak healing, to teach the gospel, to teach the word, to cast out devils. He wants to use our ship. But it's ours. It's not his. And so therefore, He asks us, can I use your ship? Can I use your vessel to reach people? Now, how many Christians would say, no? We'd all say yes. You know, you get into church service, Jesus wants to use you. How many of you want to be used by Jesus? And all 10,000 people in attendance, yay, I do. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. Okay, it's easy to say that. But let me just, don't be quick to respond to things like that. Because God says it's a whole lot better if you just keep hushed up than make a commitment that you ain't ever going to keep. You can think it, yeah, I want to be used by Jesus. Okay, but you know what? Until you're ready to make that commitment, don't say it. Best thing to, if you're going to say anything, you can say, well, Jesus, I think I'm ready. I may not be, but I want to be ready. That's the best thing you can do. Because once you make that commitment, God comes back and says, do you remember? You told me. You said you would. All right, so Jesus wants to use our ship. And who wouldn't want that? Now, let's just say that we're all in agreement with Jesus. Okay, yeah. Yes, absolutely, Jesus. Yes. I want you to use my vessel. I want you to use me. What's the first thing he's going to say? Same thing he said to Simon. What did he say to Simon? Thrust out a little from the land. Jesus is going to tell us, if you want me to use your ship, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to thrust out a little from the land. Now what was Simon doing at the time Jesus said that? He was washing his nets, right? He was going about his daily affairs. And Jesus was telling him, you're going to have to interrupt what you're doing right now and thrust out a little bit from the shore. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want me to use you, here's the way it's going to have to work. You're going to have to separate yourself from all the stuff that you do in life. All the stuff. He's not saying neglect. He never told Peter, don't ever do anything with your nets. You follow what I'm saying? But he's saying, you know what? You're going to have to thrust out a little bit from shore. If you want me to use your vessel, you're going to have to separate yourself from all the stuff that you've got yourself involved with, and you're going to have to sit in my presence and listen to me. There's no other way around this. You're going to have to separate yourself from all the stuff and separate yourself from people. Because I'm telling you, people are going to be the most distraction. One of the best things you can do when you're going to spend time praying and getting into the Word, turn your phone off or put it on silent or do not disturb. Seriously. And then turn it over so you can't see it when it's flashing and, you know, Uncle Bob wants to talk to you about going fishing. If we're going to let him use us, we have to separate ourselves from land, from people, from stuff, and just sit and listen. In other words, pray, get in the Word. You follow what I'm saying here? Until he's finished in that session. You understand what I'm getting at? Because it says here, when Jesus was finished teaching, then he gave an instruction. So here's what we have to do. We have to thrust out a little from land, separate from stuff and people, meditate in His Word, listen to His voice, receive His ministry to us. Then, what's going to happen next? He's going to tell us, He's going to give us instructions to launch out into the deep and then tell us what we're going to accomplish. See, with Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a draft. He's going to tell us, launch out into the deep. He's going to give us instructions on what he wants us to do. What's the purpose? Well, in this story with Simon, it was to catch fish. For us, it's to catch souls. It's to help reach the lost. lead them to Jesus. The backsliders, those that are, you know, they're not lost, they're not backslidden, but they're looking for more. They're seeking more. Okay, we're going to harvest them too. We're going to catch them as well. And so he says, look, I want you to launch out. You know, you've been in my presence, and now it's time for you to do, and he tells you what to do. Well, the very thing that he tells you what to do could seem like something that you've been doing for a long time. Jesus, you know, you're telling me to do something. I've been doing it this way for 20 years, and I'm not seeing any results. I've been doing it this way for 10 years. What you're telling me to do, this is nothing new. I've been doing it and doing it and doing it. And I'm not getting any results, so you're telling me to do something that's not going to get any results. Well, the difference is this. We've been doing it our way in the dark of midnight with no specific and divine instructions. But now that we've been in the presence of the Lord and we have been receiving from Him, and He says, do this, we're no longer doing it in the night. We're doing it in the light. You understand what I'm getting at? We're doing it in the light of His glory. And guess what? We're going to get results. This time it's going to work. Peter didn't think it was going to work. He said, okay, I'm only doing this because you said so. What he didn't continue on saying is, it ain't going to work. I've done it all night. It didn't work. This is my livelihood. This isn't when you fish. It's not going to work. But it's your word. I'm going to do it. And I don't know. Maybe there was something in Peter. Maybe he had a little thought of, I'm going to do this. Okay, yeah, you're a great teacher. You get people healed. You cast out devils. But I'm going to do this to prove that you don't know nothing about fishing. Because I know we're not going to catch anything. And then it says he's astonished. He was shocked. He didn't expect it. He did not expect to catch anything. And then he did. And, you know, he was astonished. Verse 9, he was astonished. And everybody that was with him, astonished at what was happening. It didn't expect it. But the thing is, when Jesus tells you to do something, there are going to be results. Even if he tells you to do the same thing you've been doing for 20 years. I've been going to that street corner for the last 20 years, preaching every day for an hour. Nobody gets saved. He said, yeah, but I want you to go down there today. Fine. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll go. Well, you go and you preach. Next thing you know, half the city gets born again. And you're wondering, what am I going to do with all these new converts? Peter's thinking, what am I going to do with all this fish? The boat's starting to sink. I need help. And Jesus says, yeah, you need help, all right. You follow what I'm getting at here? This is an amazing story for us. So what that means is this, you know, at this particular time when he says, I want you to launch out into the deep, meaning here's what I want you to do, we're at a crossroads. We can convince ourselves it won't work, or we can do what he has instructed. You know, we can give all kinds of examples at this point. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter if it's the same thing we've done for 35 years. This time, we're doing it as we are coming out of his presence with his glory and his anointing. And there are going to be results. Our obedience to His Word produces results far beyond anything that our good efforts in the flesh could ever produce. Because Simon, he wasn't doing anything wrong, fishing. He just hadn't caught anything. And here, you know, we do the same thing. We've been doing this, you know, over and over and over. We've been trying so hard. We've been, you know... And it's almost like the Lord could say, yes, and what you've been doing is not wrong. But you've been doing it under your own strength. Your intentions, your efforts, they're commendable. And I appreciate that. But now that you have thrust out and spent time with me, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And so this time when you go out and you do this, you're going to get results. because I will be in your ship with you doing this. Praise God. And we get results. Now here's the thing. Every one of us in here, we probably really want Jesus to use our ship. But we're going to have to make that decision that we're going to thrust out a little bit from shore. And we're going to have those times of separation from all else so that we can be in His presence, hear His word, receive that glory that comes with His presence, to receive instructions on what He wants us to do. Now, obviously, whatever He says to do is going to be different for everyone. And it applies to every area of our lives. I mean, even in the secular, as far as a secular job is concerned, you know, you've been trying. Well, this was a secular job. The whole thing of the fishing with Simon. You know, you're doing something, and it just doesn't work, and you're trying so hard. But then after you've made that decision to thrust out from shore, and you may have to thrust out from shore, several nights, several days. You understand what I'm saying? Not just one event. But I'm telling you, the time is coming. He's going to give you an instruction, and He could give you an instruction concerning your job that's going to completely turn your company around. And you'd be thinking, I don't know if I really heard you or not, Lord. I mean, it seemed like I heard you, but you're telling me to do the same thing I've been doing now over and over again. Well, yeah, but this time it's different. You're doing it at my word, not your intentions. And if you do it at my word and my instructions, you're going to get results, because I'm not going to tell you to go out there and fail. Praise God. This applies to every single one of us. No matter what you are as far as a ministry calling, even if you don't know what your ministry calling is, this works for every single one of us. And you know, from this point on, and you know what? This incident right here, it's possible that, well, I know this much. I doubt that Peter ever forgot this incident. But you know what? This incident right here may have been what encouraged Peter to obey Jesus when Jesus said, go down and cast in the line, and the first fish you catch, take the money out of its mouth and pay the temple tax for you and for me. Peter could have said, another fishing story? Come on, Jesus. No, Peter could have thought, you know, the last time He told me what to do when I was fishing, it worked out pretty well. He may not have put up any kind of an argument. As soon as Jesus said that, all right, where's my line? Where's the hook? You know, where's my bait? And down he went. Sure enough, it worked. This incident right here may have been that which led to Peter being so quick to obey another goofy sounding instruction. Another in the natural, this will never work. But Peter already had an idea, this will probably work. And sure enough, it did. I mean, can you imagine that? You catch a fish, open its mouth, whoa, take out the money. I'd have so many questions. How'd this get in you? How come you didn't spit this thing out? What's going on here, little fishy? Well, no, no, what's in it? Folks, it's so important for us to spend that time to launch out from shore. You know, just to thrust out a little bit and spend that time with Him on a regular basis so that we become more familiar with His voice and the instructions He wants to give us, because He is going to give us instructions for kingdom success all the time. Praise God. So be encouraged. You're not wasting time. When you do thrust out a little from shore and spend that time with Him, it is only for our benefit and for His as well, so that He can use our ship.